Talk Business Arkansas is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau, the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas, Noble Strategies, the Arkansas Healthcare Association, and Delta Trust and Bank.
I'm Roby Brock. Welcome to today's edition of Talk Business Arkansas. A lot happening on the business front, a lot happening on the political front at the state capitol and the nation's capitol. The nation's capitol is where we begin. The U.S. House of Representatives approved a bill to allow the federal government to keep borrowing money until mid-May. The debt ceiling legislation passed on a 285-144 vote. All four of Arkansas's GOP House members voted for the bill. That measure now heads to the Senate. The bill is an olive branch from Republicans who supported the proposal as it contains no spending cuts tied to the debt cap upgrade. Expect spending cuts to become the epicenter of debate in the coming weeks. A man who'll be in the middle of that spending debate is 2nd District Congressman Tim Griffin. The Little Rock Republican who sits on the House Ways and Means Committee will be opening a new office in Conway, he announced today. And he was quick to point out that it would be at no added expense. He's simply rearranging his existing budget. Back in Arkansas, state lawmakers easily passed a bill to allow for concealed weapons to be allowed in churches and places of worship. Senate Bill 71 by Senator Brian King is attempting to amend the state's concealed handgun law to allow for those churches and places of worship to allow for weapons on premises. The bill must pass the state Senate, a House committee, and the full House, as well as gain the governor's signature, so still a ways to go on that front. There was also a lot of debate about Medicaid today and yesterday, but today in the Senate Public Health Committee, there was quite a wide-ranging conversation. Senator Jonathan Dismang is going to join us later. He was at the center of that discussion. But first, we're going to run through some business headlines after this word from our sponsors. I'm Roby Brock. This is Talk Business.
I don't think it's going to be an easy conversation because they are very strong-willed. I think it's going to be important to us that we know that you're somewhere in a facility that looks after you, has compassion, has care, and you respect it. I mean, I'd love to look after them. I'd love to be able to take care of them, but I don't think I could. That'd be a wrong choice on my part.
Arkansas's skilled nursing and assisted living centers provide quality care for our seniors.
Farm Bureau helps protect its members in more ways than you might think. They've always been the voice of agriculture in Arkansas, working on behalf of folks like me when nobody else would. And Farm Bureau stands for the values that Arkansas families care about. They've protected my right to farm and make a living, which helps everybody who likes food on the table. You know what they say, Arkansas counts on agriculture, and agriculture counts on Farm Bureau.
The Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The State Chamber AIA is the leading voice for business at the state capitol and serves as the primary business advocate on all issues affecting Arkansas employers. Our mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent anti-business legislation, regulations, and rules. Now more than ever, business matters. Learn more at ArkansasStateChamber.com.
Welcome back. Let's run through some important business headlines of the last 24 hours. A National Trucking Association report indicated the year ended on a positive note for the trucking industry, but a broader index on the U.S. freight industry continues to indicate a weak national economy. The Cass Freight Index suggests that a combination of high retail inventories and an average household tax increase, those are increases that resulted from fiscal cliff legislation, of around $700 is going to result in reduced consumer spending. Without an increase in consumer spending, there will not be a notable increase in new product orders, the report said. Hopefully, we'll see Arkansas buck that prediction. On Tuesday night, Little Rock City officials okayed a deal to transfer the lease of the Peabody Hotel to the Marriott Hotel brand. The new agreement runs for 15 years with an option to renew. It also includes a $16 million renovation of the property's 418 rooms and 22 suites. Moving to the Marriott brand will position the hotel as more attractive for groups looking to take advantage of hotel point systems when planning convention business. City leaders also expect the name transfer to result in more convention business, which should lead to more revenue for the local advertising and promotion board. Finally, if you haven't seen our exclusive interview with former USA Drug founder Stephen LaFrance, check it out. It's in our latest magazine and on our website at talkbusinessarkansas.com. Does LaFrance have regrets about selling out his drugstore chain to Walgreens for $438 million last year? Read on to find out. Again, that's on our website at talkbusinessarkansas.com. Now, when we come back from this word from our sponsors, we're going to sit down with Senator Jonathan Dismang. He sits on the Public Health Committee. He's raised a bunch of questions and is seeking some solutions to solve this Medicaid riddle. Jonathan Dismang, when we come back.
Noble Strategies is a bipartisan state and federal government affairs firm with a successful track record of providing effective advocacy for business, government, and nonprofit entities. Noble Strategies provides service in areas such as lobbying, public affairs, trade association management, and marketing campaigns. Learn more at noblestrat.com.
I was looking for a bank that could best protect my finances.
This shared my passion for my business's potential.
A bank that offered investment expertise.
Lending support. Insurance guidance.
A bank that delivered full financial support.
That's how I found True Balance.
True Balance.
From my bank.
From my bank.
Delta Trust and Bank, the expertise to meet all your financial needs.
One of the real advantages of Electric Cooperative's membership is having a voice in our state's energy future.
Not a week goes by without important energy issues making headlines. These are issues that need to be discussed. And you should know that as policies are being developed, the cooperatives are looking out for our members, advocating what's best for you.
We are your friends and neighbors.
We are your local electric company.
The Electric Cooperatives.
We are Arkansas.
I'm joined now by Senator Jonathan Dismang. He sits on the Public Health Committee, among a few other committees, but public health is where we're going to focus today. Thank you so much for being here.
No, I appreciate you taking time to have me on.
I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the Medicaid debate, but to start off with, I want you to kind of explain your views on healthcare and healthcare coverage for Arkansans. Do you feel that healthcare is an entitlement for Arkansans to have in their, I guess, as part of their rights or responsibility as citizens?
You know, I don't know that I would call it an entitlement. I believe that everyone needs to have a little skin in the game when it comes to their healthcare, whether that be a part of the payment process or just taking care of themselves. And so, I don't think that entitlement is probably the right way to put that, but I do think that, you know, we should shape policy that allows people to have a part in their own health care.
What do you see from constituents in your district that lead you to believe that there is a problem with the health care system right now? What do you see?
Well, I mean, I know that the administration has said, even in his remarks to kick off the session, the State of the State address, that it didn't feel like fraud and abuse was a large problem and not a significant problem. I mean, I think my constituents would, you know, say otherwise. And that's probably the largest amount of feedback is constituents believing that the system is broke from what they've seen and wanting us to do something about that. And so, I mean, that's the primary response that we get from constituents.
So not necessarily that they don't have access to health care or that right. There need to be more choices, but that there is abuse of the current health care system going
right.
on.
Right, exactly.
Okay. What you talked in Public Health today, Surgeon General Joe Thompson was there. You guys got into an exchange where you were asking questions about a potential solution. I think David Ramsey from the Arkansas Times has quoted you pretty extensively on this, too. Mm-hmm. Tell me what your kind of awakening has been on this.
Well, I mean, and just to kind of go back a little bit of my perspective on this expansion policy and even the reform discussion that we're having right now in the state. I mean, my goal is to get all the information that we can and put it on a table, and that being the accurate information that's available. Turn that into solutions, and at some point we know we slip things off the table that don't work, and at the end of the day we're going to have a group of ideas that we think is physically responsible for the state and that's something that's just workable for the indefinite future of our Medicaid program and healthcare policy here in the state of Arkansas. And so a part of that was really the exchange between Dr. Thompson and I today. I have a great deal of respect for Joe. I consider him a friend. And like I said, was just asking some questions about things that have kind of come to my attention as we've researched.
But the crux of what you've asked about, though, is if we go with expansion, we're told all or nothing, up to 138% of the federal poverty level. You had a different idea on that.
Well, and what it is if you look at the law, the way that it is right now without expansion, the individuals that are from 100% of poverty to 138% of poverty are eligible for some really large subsidies to help pay for their health care. It's limited to 2% of the income up to 4% of the income inside that given group. And so those individuals actually have the ability to go out, buy insurance for the family, like I said, have skin in the game, and provide for their family, which
these are part of the federal health care exchange from the federal law that was passed.
Yeah, and that's as it is right now, today, without expansion. That those subsidies will be available to those individuals in those brackets. However, if we expand Medicaid up to the 138%, those subsidies go away. In the law, it says that if an individual has the ability to receive affordable health care, then they're not entitled to the subsidies on the exchange. And so if we expand to 138, they're considered to have affordable health care provided to them, and they lose their ability to buy their own insurance at those reduced rates, and like I said, have a little bit more direction for their own health care.
Your argument is that the exchange is a better health care plan than Medicaid would be.
Well, I mean, it definitely would shift in that bracket alone the cost for coverage to the federal government. I mean, and I don't believe that is a bad thing. Like I said, those folks, if you don't do a full expansion or, a partial expansion, and you leave the 138 alone, they're eligible for, great subsidies, 2% to 4% of income, and again, able to take a part and be, have a say in their health care coverage. If not, we do the full expansion, they're part of the Medicaid program.
And while you didn't have a vote as a state senator on this, you're opposed to the federal healthcare law, though. I mean, I'm trying not to put words
in there. No, absolutely. I mean,
but this is the card you've been dealt, and this is where you see the best solution?
Well, I think it's just right now part of the discussion. I mean, we have to make a policy decision, I think, in the state. Do we want those individuals to have the right through subsidies to buy their own health insurance? If we do full expansion, then we're saying that we don't. And so I think it's just a discussion that needs to be had. And part of my discussion with Dr. Thompson today is what is the administration's policy in regards to providing those subsidies by not expanding Medicaid? And I'm not sure that it was one that he really wanted to answer yet.
So you see the opportunity for legislators. Do you see some consensus building on possible expansion, whether it's partial expansion or full-blown expansion?
I think it's a little early to tell. I mean, I think everyone is still trying to wrap their heads around what we're looking at and trying to make sure that we're working from a correct set of numbers and actually have everything on the table. It's a very complicated law, the Affordable Care Act is. And once you start peeling, back on that onion, it's just amazing the more and more you find in that law. I mean, it contradicts itself in different places. And, for instance, one place that does that is 100-138.
The issue of healthcare exchanges, there's still going to be a debate on whether or not we do a state-federal hybrid or if we just go all in with the federal exchange. It's going to be one or the other because the law has been upheld. What do you think consensus is in the legislature on that?
I haven't polled, but I would assume that from what it looks like right now, and mainly due to the it lowers the risk to the state that individuals are leaning towards a federally run exchange. And again, I think the main reason for that is it doesn't obligate us in any way to future expenditures from our state's tax dollars.
Final question is back to Medicaid. There is still a shortfall in the current program, not even touching expansion. I believe it's somewhere in the $50-55 million range, I think, is the figure that we're looking at today. That's doable, isn't it?
I think definitely it's doable to use a surplus to build a bridge to get some real reform in place. And I think that's you're going to see, I would say in the next week or so, some of those reform ideas rolling out in the form of bills. And, the one thing I don't want to do is what's happened in the past. State of Arkansas has received a substantial amount of one-time money through the stimulus funds, and we propped up our Medicaid program with that rather than tackling on the reforms that need to be made. And so, or tackling head-on the reforms that need to be made. And so, if we use surplus money to build that bridge, we're going to have something on the other side that's going to work for the state and work for the Medicaid program.
Last question for you. Give me a prediction on what happens with Medicaid expansion. If you just had a crystal ball and you had to... You had to do something. You had to make some sort of bet.
I don't think that's a fair question, really.
It is.
To be
it's
honest.
Very fair.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that they're obviously, if the federal government digs its heels in and says that there's nothing available but full expansion, I think that changes things. I think that there's very little room for full expansion, you know, amongst the members. If we, you know, work through some of these details and get to some, you know, a compromise, I mean, I don't think a partial expansion is out of question. I'm just not sure. I definitely myself don't have authority, you know, to say what those provisions are going to be yet.
All right. He's Senator Jonathan Dismay. He sits on the Public Health Committee, among other things. We'll have him back on later on in the session. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
You can keep up with all the latest business and political news at talkbusinessarkansas.com. I'm Roby Brock. We'll see you next time.
Talk Business Arkansas is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau, the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas, Noble Strategies, the Arkansas Healthcare Association, and Delta Trust and Bank.